Innocent until proven guilty, it's the Medicare for the Lazy Man podcast. A Medicare podcast that sometimes actually discusses Medicare. And now, following breadcrumbs through the Medicare forest, Medicare expert Doug Jones.
Good afternoon, ladies and gentlemen. It is Medicare for the Lazy Man podcast. And as you just heard, I am your host and your Medicare expert, Doug Jones. I'm so happy to have you here, and hopefully we won't frighten you too much or bore you too much with the Medicare knowledge that we plan to impart. And seasoned listeners to this podcast understand that the Medicare knowledge is liberally sprinkled with stories and free association between Randy and I. We pick each other's brains, and then we remember things from our childhood. And before you know it, we're wandering through the weeds of weirdo conversation, and we have to be drawn back to the Medicare subject that is really the reason that we're all here. I want to thank Drew McMillan, my nephew, for doing the fabulous intro. He does all the introductions for all the Medicare for the Lazy Man podcasts, and he does a fine job. He is the host of a Canadian television show called Powerboat TV, episodes of which you can watch on powerboattv.com if you want to see Drew doing his hosting duties. He is also a CPA, but he doesn't spread that around too much, but I'm proud of him, so I want people to know that he's a multi-talented individual. So anyway, we have Medicare things to discuss, and the reason we discuss them, the reason we have Medicare for the Lazy Man, is because I came to the conclusion years ago that a lot of people are confused and some even frightened by Medicare. And I thought, you know, if it's possible to simplify the approach to Medicare, then one should do that. And so I wrote a book called Medicare for the Lazy Man 2020. That's going to be replaced pretty soon by Medicare for the Lazy Man 2021. But in the meantime, that book is out there on Amazon, and it's paperback form, it's Kindle form, and it's audio form. And it's also on BarnesandNoble.com in paperback form. But basically what we do is we simplify Medicare, which got me at least one-star negative review. Somebody said it couldn't be that simple, so this guy must be lying to you. But in fact, the many five-star reviews will tell you that it is that simple for most people that don't have hugely complicated financial affairs or employment insurance that's really confusing. And it is easily broken down into its component parts so that it's understood by people once they're presented with the right explanation. Now, one of the people to deliver that explanation, and he is going to step up to my duties should I be unable to fulfill them, would be my second in charge, Randy Carson. How are you, Randy?
I'm good, Doug. How are you doing today?
I am just fine. Thank you for asking, except for that pesky cloud cover over northern Illinois that I don't seem to be able to mentally deal with.
I know what the solution to that is, but it's going to take a bit.
Unfortunately, I have an entourage. my entourage is like herding cats. So when I suggest that it's time to head back to Arizona, the suggestion takes a while to sink in, and it doesn't happen as soon as I want it to. Yeah.
A thought crossed my mind when you were describing that one person. I don't know whether it's a guy or a gal that thought it just couldn't be that simple because your book was very, very easy to read. Very, very, it's a quick read. I have a solution for that.
Well, what is that solution, Randy?
I think for those kind of people, it would feel better if the book was a little thicker. Let's put about 150 pages in the back of it that said intentionally left blank.
Well, I saw a book recently, the very thick book, and I heard about the book, but then I saw a video where a woman was presented with a present, a birthday present or something, and She unwrapped it and was very perturbed by the title of the book, looked at the donor who was videotaping her and said, what makes you think I would want this piece of garbage? And the donor, the gifter, her daughter, I think, said, well, just open it up, take a look. And so the woman opened the book, and instantly her anger turned to mirth, because the title of the book was Reasons to Vote For, and, you know, fill in your own political party there. But the book was completely blank. It was like 300 blank pages. and she was, you know, a staunch supporter of one party, and the book title was Reasons to Vote For the Opposing Party, and there were no reasons. And it took hundreds of pages to indicate there were no reasons. But to address your suggestion, I would normally think that's a good suggestion, make it a little heftier. The problem is that Amazon forces me to charge almost by the page. Yeah. And so if I put extemporaneous stuff in it, it's always a struggle when I'm writing the next version of the book. Then we had the 2018 version, then we had the 2019 version, and then you and I worked on the 2020 version, and you've been picking out pictures, I hope, of cars so that we can have our special car-related sections. But the more stuff we throw into the book, the higher the retail price is going to be for the eventual reader. And it's a struggle even to tell them to do it in color, because it adds something like 40% to the retail cost. And I am always on a balancing act between cost to the buyer and, you know, getting a more colorful, entertaining product out there, which is more important. And ultimately, I have to come down on the side that the message is important, the message that Medicare can be understood and can be made simple. And so probably better to keep the price lower so that more people can get that message.
Oh, I totally agree with you. It reminds me of when I was back in corporate America. We used to file proposals, you know, for various products that we produced with other companies. And we would fall out of running many times because our proposal wasn't heavy enough. I swear to God that they actually weighed them coming in, and if you didn't tip the scales at a certain line, you just got deducted and thrown in the tray.
That's completely insane, because if I'm the proposal judge, I would rather have a shorter, pithier, more easily understood proposal than one that's going to put everybody to sleep. Here, read this.
So what we ended up doing, and everybody knows this, but we used to have like 45 pounds of boilerplate that we would add to the end of it. Yep. And the real pithy part, it was like 10 pages in the front.
Sure. And that's about all the attention span the people had anyway, right?
Oh, absolutely. 10
pages. Let's pretend we read the rest of it.
Yeah, exactly. No, that's exactly what happens in corporate America.
Oh, boy. Well, as you might remember, we decided we were going to get after it sooner than we typically have.
Well, you're right. So we need to get after it. And I hear you've got some mailbaggers.
I have some mailbag stuff. I thought today would be a good day just to attack the mailbag, because I don't want any of this stuff to get old and smelly again. You might remember last year, I wound up having to wear big, heavy leather gloves to reach down to the bottom of the Medicare for the Lazy Man, or the MLM mailbag, because there was something living down there. There was some kind of life form that would chew on my fingers. So now I've got it all cleaned out. And the mailbag items we have are not that old, but I haven't seen them in a while. They're a few months old, but not years old. So let's see what we've got here. This one arrived 5 months ago, I think. And it's number one. Good morning, Mr. Jones. Based on your advice in the book, I investigated Plan G in Florida. Plan G is Medicare Supplement Plan G. He lives in Florida. Humana, $545 per month. Aetna, $750 per month. He said, I do not see the high deductible, and this cost seems very high. High deductible Plan G was not made available right away. It took a while for these insurance companies to develop their plan, figure out a price for it, and then apply to the states to list it as a product that could be purchased. So This gentleman could not find a high deductible Plan G available in Florida back when he wrote this message. So anyway, he said $9,000 per year is a lot of money. I guess he's talking about the Aetna $750 per month plan. $9,000 a year is a lot of money for monthly premiums. It may be risky, but I'm tempted to choose Original Medicare without extra protection. So this was so long ago, I don't remember what I said. So it's news to me, just like it's news to the audience. Thanks for writing, Mr. So-and-so. If you are turning 65 in 2020 or afterward, the companies offering high deductible option for you are very limited. Having gotten this question from someone else, I found this site, apparently owned by the state of Florida. And then I gave him a URL, fairly lengthy URL, that goes to the Florida Insurance Department. The Florida Department of Financial Services, I think it is. Anyway, the landing page is a map of Florida, and the user is instructed to click on their county of residence. On the following page, you answer a few questions and select the plans you want to see in detail. In this case, you can click on Plan G and High Deductible G. The results I came up with were three companies that offer High Deductible Plan F, but only two that offer High Deductible Plan G. And I said, once again, your only high deductible option if you were born in 55 or later. I hope this provides all of the premium comparison information you need. If not, let me know and I will try to help further. So he wrote back and he said, may I ask another question? When Medicare Supplement Plan gives me a quote, is that in addition to Original Medicare? For example, see the attached image. I don't know what image he's got, but does the $411.97 monthly fee below, is that in addition to the Part B cost? And my answer was the monthly premium for Medicare Part B will be $144 this year, unless you have a history of high income that will trigger an IRMA penalty, I-R-M-A-A. The monthly premium for the Medicare supplement, for instance, Plan G or high deductible Plan G, will be paid in addition to the above cost. The monthly premium for your Part D prescription drug plan can be as little as $13.20 a month and will be paid in addition to the above costs. Hope this helps. And then, let's see, that was number four. I had to number the paragraphs because, frankly, it got a little confusing. So then I see another number four. I had quite a correspondence with this gentleman. So I said, thank you very much for that very kind act. I really appreciate it. Don't know what the kind act was. I said, be careful of nomenclature. The monthly premium for Medicare Part A will be $0 if you have 40 quarters or 10 years of taxable employment. Ugh. I don't know what the heck we were talking about here. I should have been more careful when I numbered the paragraph. But one, two, three. Oh, there's four. I answered four, so now we've got to find five. Mr. Jones, thank you for your reply emails. One minor comment about your book. The book begins on page 35, not page one. Also, it appears to begin in the middle of chapter six. The next chapter is chapter seven. Is this normal? Or did I get a defective copy with missing pages? That's what we talked about. I'd forgotten about this. I said, that was definitely a defective copy. I wouldn't write a book starting in chapter six. So go back to the site of your order and indicate that you want to return that item. They should ask for an explanation and then offer to replace it for free. If they do not offer to make it good, free of charge, then I will. Let me know how they respond. So then he wrote back to me and said, great news, Amazon is sending me a replacement, although the return window is closed. In other words, he had had it too long to qualify for the normal return period of time. So I then said to him, I think I probably tried to hit him up for a review. I said, would you like me to send you a new one? If so, send me your mailing address and tell me how you want the inscription to read, because I'm going to autograph it. And he said, wonderful, how about leaving? Oh, then he told me it was that Amazon was going to return it to him or give him a new one. And I said, how about leaving a short customer review on the Amazon site after you read it? That's me, always trying to get those reviews. So he said, I had left a very good review with half a book, so I'm going to revise that and make the review double good now that I have the full book instead of half. And then he indicated a little smiling face. Have a good evening, sir. And I said, I'm considering forming a relationship with United American, a highly rated insurance company that offers high deductible Plan G almost everywhere. If you let me know your zip code and your date of birth, I'll be happy to show you the rates for their plans in your part of Florida. Are you a smoker, by the way? I will wait for your response. And he said, I am not a smoker. I do not drink. Well, he's a cleaner living guy than I am. So I have a boring life. Ha, ha, ha. My zip code is so-and-so. My birth date is 25 November 2020, a date in the future that hasn't even arrived yet. So he must have really wanted that information, and he got all excited. His date of birth is not 2020, but I don't know when it is. He said, you may offer me advice, but I'm thinking of not applying for any Medicare coverage for 2021 and maybe beyond. I work for Siemens, and I pay a fairly low annual fee for my company family coverage plan. Company plan is a high deductible health plan, and we basically save money by not seeing any doctors. Even if I get Medicare, I will still not visit doctors. I hate them. My daughter is a medical doctor, by the way, but she charges me nothing. So according to the books I read on the subject, there are no long-term penalties for delaying Medicare coverage if you are already covered under an employer plan. Well, why didn't he tell me that up front? He said, I have a young son, age 6, and a young second wife. And I said, you are correct about avoiding any late enrollment penalty by remaining actively employed and covered by the company plan. I also agree about your lack of interest in seeking treatment from doctors, by the way. You seem to have things well under control, and I have no suggestions that would improve your current situation. Therefore, I wish you continued success and will be at your disposal in the future if you should need my assistance then. So that was over a month I went back and forth with that gentleman, and turns out he did not need my advice. I just wanted to confirm what he thought was okay, and he's not going to go near a doctor's office, so he probably doesn't need any medical insurance. And that would be that wore me out. What's the time looking like on the clock?
We are down to the last eighth of a tank.
Well, I can find a short little perk. Yeah, here's one. I've never seen an MLM mailbag item this short. It's basically a half a page.
Oh, my gosh. Somebody that's concise.
So this was a person who says, hello, I'm new to the Medicare world after becoming disabled. I saw your post on Reddit. I'm on Reddit every once in a while, where you noted that you have a step-by-step process to compute the costs to compare plans. That's drug plans. If you could send me a copy, I would appreciate it. So I said, the step-by-step instructions are for selecting the lowest priced drug plan available in your area, and it is attached. Let me know if I can help further. Now, this is germane because, frankly, Steve, in our prior episode, said that he understood the Medicare drug plan donut hole. And I did not challenge that remark, but I should now because I don't believe anybody understands the donut hole. Steve or anyone else, and Steve is not a dumb guy by any stretch of the imagination, but my step-by-step method of choosing the most cost-effective drug plan available in your area depends on A, where you are, that's zip code and county, B, what drugs you take, and C, where you like to have your prescriptions filled. If it's a drugstore, if it's one of several drugstores, if it's mail order. And once you input those items, then this website, this government website, will tell you what the cheapest plan is, what the second cheapest plan is, what the third cheapest plan is, all the way up, in my case, to about 31 plans in my area of Illinois. And it's expressed in terms that are comparative. So this plan is going to cost you, $100 a year. This plan is going to cost you $200 a year. This plan is going to cost you $300 a year. It doesn't address the donut hole because it takes into account every dollar that you would spend out of your pocket for the balance of the year. So the donut hole becomes immaterial when you're looking for the plan that costs you the least. I don't know why people want to fixate on this stupid donut hole and on the deductible that a drug plan offers. But if you're changing your drug plan or buying a drug plan that starts on January 1st, your biggest concern should only be how much money out of your pocket you're going to have to pay to get your drugs for the balance of the year. And then we look at your drug plan at the end of that year to start on January 1st. Again, will it still be good? Will there be a better drug plan available to you? Those are the things that we should ask about at the end of the year during AEP, which is annual election period. And that starts October 15th and ends December 7th. And that's for coverage that begins January 1st. So we should have that conversation every year at the end of the year. But after that, you don't have to worry about anything like donut holes and deductibles and stuff like that with your drug plan. All we're looking at is the amount you would pay with your drug plan for 12 months of coverage as opposed to all the other drug plans out there. You want to get the cheapest one or pretty close to the cheapest one. So anyway, that's my pontification about drug plans for today. And I imagine we're pretty close to the landing time, huh?
We are coming in for a final landing. But having said that, I have a question. I never thought about this.
You know, I love to answer questions.
And I'm sure you have an answer. I've never thought about the situation where someone is on Medicare because of a disability. Are all the Medicare supplemental plans available to them just like you would be if you were 65?
Theoretically, yes, but I'm not 100% sure that's true. And I thought at one time that I would become a master of people who are covered by Medicare supplements under age 65 because of disability. And then I found that one of my favorite insurance companies says, don't try to do it. Don't try to understand it. It's fraught with the risk that you might misinform somebody. Call the company and describe the situation, or let the proposed insured call the company and describe the situation. So that tells me that I don't want to be an expert in that. So I have to answer your question with, I don't know. I think they're all available because I've been told that you're supposed to have the same opportunity to go on Medicare when you're disabled. And this, depending on what you're disabled from, if it's kidney malfunction, that's one thing. If it's Lou Gehrig's disease, that's another thing. If you're disabled for a different reason and you're on Medicare or Social Security disability, then you can go on Medicare after you've been receiving payments for 2 years. But then I don't know if in every state, every Medicare supplement plan is available to you. I just don't know. And this is one of the areas where it might not be horrible to have a Medicare Advantage plan if you get good advice, because if you're really screwed up, bedridden or whatever, there are special Medicare Advantage plans available in some areas to deal with special circumstances. And they're called special needs plans or SNPs. And that might be a time that a Medicare Advantage plan provides best coverage for whatever cost, because they're designed for that particular malady that you might be suffering.
So the answer would be,
I don't know.
Is the something you have to investigate, but don't neglect to investigate.
Well, yes, but I have to tell you this. What I've noticed in this country, because we are a very giving, caring country, that if you're poor or destitute, it's real easy to find people who will offer all kinds of free advice. But if you're of average means or better, and if you're in average health or better, it's more difficult to find good, reliable advice, because there isn't a phalanx of people that are paid to advise you. So if you're all messed up, then, you know, like from an accident, let's say a bus runs over you, your doctors will put you in touch with an official at the hospital that will explain your Medicare options to you or your disability options. You're going to be ushered into the room of knowledge, and you will be share the knowledge, and your life will be beautiful except for that unfortunate accident. But if you're just a regular dude,
So people like me, just good luck, huh?
You're on your own, buddy. And don't bother us, okay?
No, oh, okay.
I go to lunch from 12:30 to 2:30, and I don't need to hear my phone ring.
I get that. So anyway, I just wanted to, you know, clear up my mind on that, and thanks for the answer on that. Everybody that's listening,
pretty long answer, wasn't it?
Well, you know, Medicare, it's not terribly difficult the way you describe it, but every once in a while, it takes a couple paragraphs. So anyway, everybody, thanks. Thanks so much for joining us, and thanks so much for listening. You've been really a good audience today. Didn't have to kick anybody out. Didn't have to shush anybody. So, you know, you've been a great audience, and thanks for coming. We always enjoy having you, and we're looking forward to talking again tomorrow. Doug, is there any final thoughts you'd like to share with our audience?
I would like it if everybody were to run off to Amazon or to barnesandnoble.com and bought a copy of Medicare for the Lazy Man 2020. One day, Medicare for the Lazy Man 2021 is going to be arriving, and then you will have lost your chance to buy the 2020 version. So,
and you need, and you need the series. Like, what's that book in England that Harry Potter. This is like your Harry Potter series. You don't want to miss any.
There you go. And oh God, speaking of things like that, I heard horrible news today. Game of Thrones was a popular show. It took me a few years to muster the energy to watch it and to try to figure out who was in it and everything else. And in later episodes, there was an old lady character, and she was given a very juicy role, and she was in every episode for a couple of seasons. And she just died, apparently within the last couple of days. And that was the girl who was on The Avengers.
Oh, Emma Peel.
Yes, and her real name was Diana Ladd. No, Diana something or other. But she was magnificently gorgeous when she was young. Not so much when she was in her 80s, but she apparently died a quiet, comfortable death at age 82. From what, well, I don't know.
I was in love with her when she was on The Avengers.
Yeah, you would have gotten over that during the course of years, but she was still an interesting character on Game of Thrones. And not that I understood half of what was going on in Game of Thrones. I don't know who won the game, to tell you the truth.
I don't know either, and I didn't follow the Game of Thrones, but a good friend of mine who is a professional photographer in Ireland was one of the still photographers on the set for Game of Thrones. So I do have some insight into the Game of Thrones. I just didn't know what it was all about.
Well, I'm guessing he didn't follow Emma Peel around too much, snapping her photograph. But she was, as Randy said, a fine figure of a woman back in the 1960s when The Avengers was on. So,
oh, yeah.
Anyway, so another one bites the dust. One day that'll be us. We'll be biting the dust. Not the same dust, probably. But
nobody will ever say what a fine person I was when I was young.
A fine figure of a man. I'm not going to be saying it. No, people will draw the wrong conclusions.
I don't think anybody will say that. But anyway, you have just spent about 32 and a half minutes around the table with Doug Jones, the anti-insurance guy from Oklahoma, and sole proprietor of MedicareForTheLazyMan.com.
Bye-bye.